it's normally around this time of the year that the unique and irresistible aroma of wild garlic starts dancing around the air. Our friend and food tour guide, Margaret Leahy, would classify herself as a wild garlic enthusiast.
I am indeed, Ray.
And joins us now from her studio in Castle. A wild garlic enthusiast. You're the first one I've ever met.
Well, you know what? We're a growing band, though. We really are.
You're growing in hedge grows and ditches all over the country.
Absolutely. Coming out of hedges everywhere.
Great to talk to you, Margaret. How are you?
I'm great, Ray. And yourself?
Good. I'm good. Yeah.
Good.
I'm just back from a few days off.
Yes.
So,
we were listening to Catherine in your absence.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, wild garlic, how do you know it, apart from the smell?
Okay. So, basically, there's two plants in Ireland we call wild garlic. One is actually a tree corner leek. And I was down in Wexford last weekend and it's absolutely everywhere. Very invasive. It looks like white bluebells.
Ah, yeah.
But our own native wild garlic is much shorter. It's got a dark green leaf. It's a larger leaf and it grows in woodlands.
Right, so we have a bit of wild garlic, the first one.
Yes, the three-cornered leek, yeah.
So it could look like a snowdrop. You could think it was a snowdrop.
It's a much bigger plant and it's quite invasive, actually, whereas our native one is a smaller plant. It dies down once it finishes flowering next month and it's kind of gone from the woodland floor until next spring again.
Okay, and some people would say it's not a nice smell, but I like the smell and it's definitely a garlicky smell.
Oh, I love it.
And can you use both to eat?
You can. Now, the one that the three corner leek is, in my opinion, the far inferior of the two. It's much kind of rougher and it's harder to work with.
Right.
Whereas the true wild garlic, it's quite a soft leaf, so it whizzes up perfectly for pesto and things like that. It's really good. And you can mix it through spinach and different things. I absolutely love it. I love this time of year. Yeah.
So when did you become a wild garlic enthusiast, Margaret?
I don't remember the exact day and time, Ray. I suppose it was one of the first things that I started trying when you'd hear about people trying wild food and foraging.
Yes.
And you're thinking, I could go out and pick something now and kill myself or kill somebody else. So wild garlic was the first one I tried and absolutely loved it. Yeah.
And that's the important thing, that people should, if they're not fully informed, they should ask an expert or even an enthusiast like yourself.
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram. I have loads of pictures of it.
Oh, do you?
Well, I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it is, I mean, in fairness, Ray, you do have to be careful. And I always say that. And there are plants that grow beside wild garlic that are not wild garlic. Mm. So you do have to know what you're picking. It is, once you see it once and once you've used it once, you won't mistake it again.
Okay, just to go off on a tangent, if you don't mind. We used to eat sally leaves.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely, delicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, dandelions are gorgeous in a
salad.
No
way.
Yes, absolutely. Dandelion leaves, this time of the year, early in the year, they're lovely in a salad. They're also a natural diuretic, which is why they're called. Yes,
Pissing
we know.
The beds. Yeah. Yay!
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Nettles this time of the year, the tops of nettles, nettle and potato soup is absolutely gorgeous. And this is not going down, I'm not an expert in all things like mushroom and fungi, which is what a lot of people think about when they think about foraging.
Yeah.
There's loads of stuff that is out there. There's sorrel growing in my lawn, probably because I don't feed the lawn or spray or anything, the sorrel. If you go down to the beach,
what does sorrel look like?
It's kind of like a shiny leaf. Again, it's quite short. It's kind of like an oval.
Right.
And if you Google any of these, but always make sure if you're looking for them that you're looking for the Irish ones, because there's loads of different plants in Europe and that might look like ours. There's sea beet down by the shore.
Sea beet.
Yeah.
And what's that other one that I love? Very salty. It's a sea one as well.
Oh, the samphire.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that grows wild too, doesn't it?
Yeah. So there's two types of samphire. The one that you'd normally get in a restaurant is actually a marsh samphire, which we have here, but more abundantly we have another one which I can't quite remember the first word that goes with the samphire, but it's more like a small little shrub grown on the rocks. There's loads of it now here where I live in Connemara, and it's gorgeous. Just barely steamed with a bit of fish and I'll tell you, you're in heaven.
Sorry, I brought you away from your enthusiasm for wild garlic.
I'm trying to talk about it that's growing in there. Right.
I better just mention to people about your Margaret's food tours. So it's fabletours.com.
Yes.
Fable Tours. And it sort of all started here, didn't it? Not the week.
It did literally start there. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And
you with your clocks and then with your food and then your tours and all sorts of things.
The clocks were great crack last weekend, I can tell you. But anyway, when the time changes.
Yes, because Just to remind people, so is it 4 or 5 clocks that you have?
I have 5 clocks up. 4 represent my children and 1 is myself. Yes. So, and they're set to the time where the children are.
Right. Yeah. And we discovered that for those 3 weeks or 2 weeks, New York,
yes,
they change at the beginning of March. We change at the end of March. Yes. So for those 3 weeks, it's only 4 hours difference with New York.
Exactly.
As opposed to 5.
You keep forgetting that. But so that's kind of how we started talking. And then we started talking about the tours. And then earlier this year, I changed the name of my tours to Fable, which is a combination of the words farm and table into one word. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's farm to table tours and tales, because I think we need to kind of connect back with the farms who are our primary food producers.
Yeah. And we have that. That's I'm particularly sad about this, that a lot of young people don't know where their food's coming from. And as far as they know, it's like it's in plastic and they get it in the supermarket and that's it.
Yeah, I think it's and I think if they knew where it came from, and then they would, you know, want to know more about the farmers who produce it, but also the fact that how much we produce here. Because when you're picking up stuff, people, unlike me, a bit of a lula, don't look at where it's from. I'm there looking at the country it's from. And I'm nothing against imports, Ray, but we have such wonderful produce here that we really should try and focus on buying as much as that and supporting our farmers and growers.
Yeah. Now, back to the garlic.
The wild garlic.
Yeah. So what can you do with it when you find it?
Okay, so what most people do is make pesto, which is like basil pesto, except you're using the wild garlic instead of the basil leaves. So it's basically parmesan, olive oil and nuts. Yeah.
Oh, right. Because I thought, do you not put garlic into pesto?
Well, you can. But with this, you don't have to. It's literally just the leaves, grated parmesan, olive oil, and you can put
pine nuts
in.
Yes. Yeah, well,
to be honest with you, I always say I put whatever nuts are in the cupboard. So it could be cashews, it could be whatever, almonds,
now,
whatever.
Here's the thing, because we have a nut allergy in our house.
Right.
You can make it with seeds.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Sunflower seeds are that. Yeah,
and it works.
Lovely.
It works. So so there's wild garlic pesto.
Which you can put through your pasta. I put it on for Easter Sunday. I actually topped hake and baked it in the oven with the pesto on top.
Nice,
gorgeous.
Nice, yeah.
You can make butter, and if you make your butter into like rolls and freeze it, you can, in the middle of winter, you can take out a few slices of your garlic butter, butter it on your steak, and it's like spring all over again, Ray.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You can mix it with spinach, and you wilt it with the spinach. You can put it into an omelette. I mean, loads of ways.
And how much would you have at home now?
Probably more than I should. Yeah. I do pick a lot. I really do. And
it's for free, though. That's the great thing.
It is, yeah. And the one thing, can I just say, really important, Ray, when people are picking it, they need to pick it and not pull it, because if you pull it, the little bulb comes up, and that's when foraging becomes unsustainable, because you're literally pulling the plant out.
So what's the difference between picking and pulling?
So, you know, if I could show you, I'm on the radio. But you kind of pick it sideways, if that makes sense, rather than pulling it upwards. Does that make sense?
So you don't want to see the roots. You just want to pick a bit from
just
the
top. Okay. Yeah. And if you pick what you need to use. Bring a basket or a Ziploc bag or whatever. Fill it up, and bring it home and just try it out. And I'm like, my daughter goes back to Dublin with jars of the pesto because she absolutely loves it. Yeah.
Pesto with wild garlic that's picked, not pulled. Yeah. Okay. Margaret Leahy, great to talk to you again.
FableTours.com.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Sarah's on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow, Friday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.